I know that Michael Jackson is considered to be the king of pop, but there's an ongoing debate as to whether or not Michael Jackson is really R&B. Let's get into it. Throwbacks, chapter 1, verse 11. What's good? Welcome or welcome back to Throwbacks, the only place where we get to discuss the unexpected theology of old school hip hop and R&B. My name is Derek J. Murphy, and I'm a pastor, teacher, and writer of the book Throwbacks, where we take songs from a generation from the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, and then we discuss the song, talk about what it means to us, and then flip it to add inspiration, motivation, and value to our lives. And if you've been with us and you've enjoyed this conversation, I want you to click subscribe. If you haven't already, go ahead and click that subscribe button, hit that like button, comment, engage with the content because that helps us to spread the word about what we're doing here at Throwbacks. And with that being said, I could go back to 1979. I could go back to 1984. I could even go back to 1988, 89, maybe even 1992, but we're going back to 2002. That's right, 2002. 2002 is the hottest year on record, only next to 1998. And I can believe that I have lived through two of the hottest years ever recorded. It's not the same summer that I played in when I was a kid. 2002. In 2002, British boxer Lennox Lewis defeated Iron Mike Tyson in a knockout in the eighth round for the championship, heavyweight championship of the world. We all thought that the Brit stood no chance, but he knocked Tyson out. 2002. In 2002, the biggest movies of the year was a nerd's dream. They were Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, and Tobey Maguire's original Spider-Man. 2002. In 2002, I was married, getting ready to have our first child. 2002. And I know I feel you in my spirit saying, but Derek, that's not old school. Let me remind you that 2002 is 22 years ago, 23 years ago. 2002 is, by the very definition, old school. And I know you saw who we're talking about today. You heard it in the B-roll that we're talking about Michael Jackson. And why in the world, with all of the old school hits of Michael Jackson, would you choose a song from 2002? Well, let's just pause there for a second. Let's discuss the elephant in the room. That there is this ongoing debate. And many of you, if you've been watching, you know that I've referenced one of my favorite new podcasts, R&B Money. It's new to me. It's not a new podcast, but I have been watching R&B Money for a while now. And there's this ongoing debate on R&B Money. Does Michael Jackson belong to R&B? He is, by definition, the king of pop. Recognized as such, and he did do pop music. But the question on the floor still remains, is the music that Michael Jackson did, whether it's pop or not, still considered R&B? Because you got to consider this, that in the 80s, most of the pop music was black music. It was R&B. Just like if you go all the way back to the 60s, a lot of the pop music was Motown, and that is by definition, R&B, even though it had a pop appeal, it was R&B. So, in that case, I believe that Michael Jackson belongs in the R&B camp. Consider this. When NSYNC did their song Pop, the overtone of the song was dirty pop. And my kids asked me, what did that mean? And all it really means is it was music that took from the black experience, used beats that would be found on hip hop and R&B, but it was pop music. And even though Michael Jackson did pop music, it was still a lot of it R&B. I mean, some of the best Michael Jackson songs were R&B. Think about it. Rock With You. Rock With You is an R&B classic. It wasn't disco, it wasn't real pop. It was R&B. At the end of the 70s, as disco was coming to an end, Michael Jackson made this perfect transition record that made him a real adult star. R&B. Remember the Time from 1992? Come on now. That is Teddy Riley at his finest. New Jack Swing and all. That's R&B. I don't care what nobody says. Lady in My Life, which, by the way, I haven't addressed this, but Billboard said that Lady in My Life should have been left off of the Thriller album, that it's the worst song on the album. How dare you? No. Lady in My Life is an R&B classic. It's R&B. Michael Jackson is R&B. Human Nature? Come on now. This is R&B music. And today, 2002, of all those songs that I could have chosen, I'm choosing 2002's from the Invincible album, Butterflies. Butterflies. All you got to do is walk away and pass me by. Don't acknowledge my smile. Listen, Michael Jackson on Butterflies, I just got to tell you, it may not be my favorite Michael Jackson song, and my favorite Michael Jackson songs aren't the typical ones that you would pick. They're not necessarily the big hit singles from the Thriller album. But Butterflies is number two, maybe number three, of my favorite Michael Jackson songs because it is clearly R&B. He is going in the vein of neo soul, and this man is singing on this record. He does falsetto, he does his natural voice, his natural tenor, and it's smooth, it is airy, but nonetheless R&B. It was written by Andre Harris and Marsha Ambrosius. And you know Marsha Ambrosius from the group Floetry. When they presented this song to Michael, Michael had to do the song. And the way that I would describe this song is that it has a nice airy vibe to it to make it sound like butterflies. You really get the feeling of being in a meadow with the sun beating down on you from this warm, dreamy, atmospheric sound. But nonetheless, it is very much R&B. And when you talk about the lyrics of the song, the lyrics lends itself to a man who is nervous about speaking to a woman who he's really feeling. And it's sort of a bit of unrequited love because when he thinks about her, he gets butterflies in his stomach, right? And as a brother with very little game, I know that feeling. I know the feeling. And so I can connect with this song, right? He is very much into this girl, but he's also aching a bit because he's so nervous to talk to her that he really can't. All I gotta say is that I must be dreaming, can't be real, you're not here with me. Mixture of infatuation and vulnerability that Mike just, he uses his voice to really communicate. This is a beautiful song. And one of my favorites from Michael Jackson. If we were to do a top 10 list, this would definitely be in the top three. And it's clearly, absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, R&B. In fact, it was one of his last hits, in his music career before his passing. He didn't chart very well with this song around the world because I don't think this was made for the world. I think this was made for Michael Jackson's core audience. And hear me again, that is the R&B audience. The song comes on now on the radio and I still feel it, right? Because it is clearly R&B. When it came out 2002, it debuted at number 60. On the Hot 100, peaked at number 14. But on the R&B charts, it entered in at number 6 and then peaked at number 2. This song is a beautiful example of why Michael Jackson belongs to us. So how do we get from Michael Jackson's Butterflies to adding inspiration and value to our lives? How do we get from the King of Pop to an R&B classic to a fundamental truth? How do we get there? Well, our scripture today is from Isaiah 6:1, verses 4 through 5a, then 8 through 9a. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. It reads, "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with his train from his robe filling the temple. And the foundation of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go.'" 30 years ago, I was sure of what I wanted to do. I had fallen in love with gospel music and had been to a few concerts and met and talked to just about all of my gospel music heroes. So that was what I wanted to do with my life. I was one of the ministers of music at the church. I was the choir director, and I started writing my own songs. After I graduated high school, I formed a group and we started singing and performing around town. And was elated when we were invited to sing out of town just 20 minutes up the road at a revival. We did our thing, and a common experience happened to us. The preacher began to prophesy, saying that we would bless millions across the world with our music. He asked, "Who wrote the songs that y'all sing?" And I raised my hand. He said, "Son, you have an awesome gift that will bless people all over the world." This bit of information was all the confirmation that I needed. I was ready to boldly pursue a gospel music career. But then something happened that I wasn't expecting. God called me to preach instead. It wasn't like I heard an audible voice from the sky or anything, but I had this undeniable urge to teach what I had learned and seen in scriptures. I didn't know quite what to do with this feeling because my dad is a preacher and a pastor, and neither of those was something that I ever wanted to do. But this preaching thing was pulling on me hard. It made me uncomfortable. I gave God all sorts of excuses. I don't know what to say. People won't listen to me. I'm so terribly shy. I was even so bold to tell God I didn't want to do it. I wanted to be the next Fred Hammond, and people were calling me that. But God's call would not let up. Coming face to face with God's plan for me didn't fill me with confidence. Instead, it left a huge pit in my belly. I knew I wasn't good enough to do what he was compelling me to do. I wasn't groomed for this. I wasn't prepared for this. But I had to do it anyway. And to this day, I still feel the same exact way. I've been preaching now for over 25 years, pastoring for over 21, adding to that writing for over 10 years, and now podcasting and YouTubing. I still get nervous every time I stand to preach or to click share on what I've written, feeling butterflies in my stomach. Despite my insecurities, God continues to compel me, and I can't help but answer. I'm still in awe of his call on my life. And perhaps you're like me. Maybe you feel unworthy or unqualified. Maybe you're even terrified, standing and trembling at the call of God. But be encouraged. God knows exactly who he is beckoning. It is his spirit and his power working through you. And that is an awesome feeling, knowing that he desires to use little old me. God's plan for you will always be better than what you've devised for yourself. So even if it makes you nervous, even if you get butterflies in the pit of your stomach, lean into his promise and plan for your life. If you've made it this far, I hope that something has been said to encourage you and maybe even challenge you to do what God has called you to do. You may not feel worthy, you may not feel good enough, but if God has called you, then you are definitely ahead of the curve. God will prepare you for all that he has called you to do. And all you have to do is lean into that call and walk in the promises that he has for your life. If you've really enjoyed this conversation, let me again invite you to click that subscribe button, hit the like button. And if you're feeling real generous, share this with somebody else who you think may benefit from this conversation. If you're interested in the book, Throwbacks, you can visit derekjmurphy.com. That's DerekJMurphy.com. And you can find that book and all of my other works, as well as some blog entries, all of my podcasting, and even some merch if you are so interested in seeing. So with that in mind, know that God loves you best. I love you best I can, and you be blessed. See you next time. I don't know what he's saying, but it's so good. It is so good.